Hello and welcome back to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Wash and Word hand car washing business. These sermons are brought to you by the Wash and Word. That is the hand car washing business in Churchill, Tennessee, located in the Powell Shopping Center on Highway 11W. And my name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and operators of the business. And we have started that business so that we can bring you verse-by-verse Bible teachings in a whole new format. Many of you are used to getting the Word of God, or at least I hope you are, at your churches on Sundays and Wednesdays, but we decided that it's time for the Word of God to be delivered in a non-traditional format, and so we started a business that brings these Bible teaching messages into your ears, and we do it several ways. You can tune to 107.1 FM in the parking lot while you're in this area or getting your car washed, and you can hear these messages on a loop. Again, at 107.1 FM. You can go to the washandword.com website under the media tab and download and listen to all the archive messages for free. You can hear us live on the radio Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. on WMCH 1260 a.m. And finally, I preach on Sunday nights at Abundant Life Fellowship. That's 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. Sunday nights at 6 p.m., we are currently going through the book of Matthew in a verse-by-verse format. So there's plenty of ways for you to listen to verse-by-verse Bible teaching. The only question remains is, are you going to listen? I humbly submit that while this is a high calling to preach God's word, I am blessed to do it. I am blessed by these messages, and I could say that humbly and confidently, because I know that the Spirit is the ultimate teacher. The Spirit is the one who brings forth the messages, and hopefully you are hearing these messages through the ears that are of the Spirit. All right, let's get back into it. We're in Ecclesiastes. We might finish it this message, or we don't know yet. We are in the chapter 12. It's the last chapter of the book, and Solomon is culminating everything and getting us to look at things in a negative and depressing end thought. And we read verses 1 through 8 in our last teaching, and he's basically, and we, again, you can go to washandword.com to hear yesterday's message, but he's going through this list as we are going through it, and he's using metaphors to relate to how the body breaks down, how the elderly are slowly losing their dreams, they are slowly losing their abilities, and all this sounds depressing, but he's doing it for a reason as he begins to culminate the end of this book. And this is where we left off yesterday in verse 3a. He says, the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. He's talking about how our bodies begin to get weaker. You know, you ever seen an old man just really frail, taking tiny steps? Their legs can't handle it anymore. And he says, tremors, the keepers of the house tremble. You ever seen old people? They kind of shake and they're trembling. It's common with old age. It's just what happens. It's just the way things are. It's the way we were created. Well, I should say it's the way we were created after the fall. But we'll be restored once again to the original creation when we die or when Christ comes back. But he says that this is an age or a time in your life when your belt buckle, you know, your belt won't buckle, but your knees do. You know, when your narrow waist and your broad mind have changed places. He says, as the knees bend and the hands shake, so too the back begins to arc. And in 3b, he says, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. He's saying, not sharpening stones when he says grinders. He's talking about your teeth. He's saying how your teeth begin to deteriorate and fade. And then he says that your eyesight starts to dim. You know, I used to have perfect vision for the longest time. Now I can't see 8 inches in front of me anymore. It just happens with age. Your eyes start to go. Things start to dim. You know, they say the old adage is love is blind. Well, as you begin to age, I don't think love is blind. I think people are. You know, we just don't see the flaws in our partners any longer. And then in 4a, he said, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. What's he saying there? He's saying that the doors to the street, he's talking about your lips, are closed and the sound of grinding fades. He's talking about your teeth. He's saying that behind the lips, eventually the grinding fades. Why? Because most of us, as we age well into our 80s and 90s, we lose all of our teeth. It's just the way it goes. He says that the sound of grinding fades. Kind of depressing, isn't it? And then in 4b, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all of their songs grow faint. What's he talking about here? He's talking about how elderly people are light sleepers. They're up a lot. And as we get older, you know, the sound of the songbird is no longer heard. Why? Well, what's happening? Our ears are beginning to fade. And this is exactly what, you know, this is exactly what we experience in our aging. I remember saying to my dad one time, I says, "Dad, that apple looks good. What kind is it?" And he says, "About 330. Yeah, so our hearing fades. Verse 5, when men are afraid of heights and the dangers that are in the streets. Well, this is a word about the fear of getting old. Not so much about the physicality of getting old, but the things that people fear as they enter into those golden years. And as we age, the thought of climbing stairs or ascending to high places diminishes. You know, we go on cruises with my parents, and we started about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. When we first went on cruises with them, we used to go up and down the stairs all the time because it was a way to burn off calories and energy, because, you know, the whole idea of a cruise is to try to get as hungry as you can between the last time you ate. And so we would go up and down the stairs. But as the years went on and we began cruising with them a lot more, the idea of taking the stairs has began to fade. And the thought of ascending, you know, has begun to take a second place to the elevator. And this is just what he's saying here, is that our mindsets begin to change. The things that we used to think to do, even if we want to, we can't do them anymore. And we see elderly people staying in at night, not driving when it gets dark, or at least y'all shouldn't be. They're afraid to do so. And how do we know that he's talking about old people? Well, we see this in verse, well, I mean, we've seen it through the whole chapter of 12, but verse 5b says, when the almond trees blossom, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the desire no longer is stirred. The almond tree blossoms. This is an allusion to the elderly part of the tree as far as the season of its blossoming and bringing forth its fruit. And then the grasshopper, you know, in cold weather, the grasshopper can barely move. I can bend down and pick up a grasshopper when it's cold, or any insect for that matter, because as a grasshopper in the cold weather can't move, so it drags himself along. The desire is no longer stirred. And just like a slow-moving insect, it takes us a while when we get older in the morning to start moving, to loosen up the stiff joints. And like the grasshopper, we drag along. And then he says that the man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. He's saying that desire is no longer stirred. Notice this is the last thing on the list. You know, no wonder there is so much teaching in the Word about sexual morality or immorality, as it were. It is a drive that not even old age can kill. My mom used to work in the nursing homes, you know, she used to visit there as a ministry, and she used to work in them, and she would say, you know, she would tell me how 90-year-old people would still be hitting on her. Now, physicality, I'm sure they can't do nothing about it, but the desire doesn't go away, he says. And, but of course, modern technology, science, and medicine has progressed to aid in these natural, inevitable ailments. But what he's saying is that this isn't a natural, it's a thought that holds on tight, that desire, especially in a sexual manner, doesn't just wane easily. It holds on tight. And for some, it's a process that may never get broken. But even as he says, desire is no longer stirred. You know, eventually it goes away. And, you know, as we take these things that he's saying here and we contemplate how the body just falls apart. You know, for some people, just watching them get ready for bed is akin to watching a building get demolished. You know, they take off their wig, they take out their teeth, they unbuckle their braces. I mean, it's like putting together the Bionic Man each and every day you get in and out of bed. But, you know, even with all the advancements that we have, the end result is always going to be the same. And this is what he says in verse, the last part of verse 5. Then man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Man goes to his eternal home. This is one of only a few references to life after death that Solomon alludes to. And then he says, and then the mourners come. Of course, referring to a funeral. Now he moves on to not about getting old, but heading towards the fate of death, actual death. A stark reminder to enjoy life and enjoy friends and to enjoy family before they are gone. Because before, he says, to enjoy them before they're, in 6a, he says, remember them before the silver cord is severed. That is a reference to our spinal cords and how they begin to weaken. And he says, or the golden bowl is broken. The golden bowl is a euphemism here talking about your cranium, your head, before it is broken. Many times head trauma is often leads to death. And many times elderly people fall. He's just saying, remember these people because this is the ultimate conclusion of their death. And he says, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well. He's saying here that the pitcher is your heart and the wheel are your veins and your artery, and the spring is the source of life-giving water, like the heart. And he says, you know, as we get older, we've seen it. Heart disease runs rampant, and the life-giving water, as he says here, or blood, which our heart pumps, we transpose that analogy. It's carried by the veins, or the wheel, as he says. Solomon says that while the body deteriorates, the spirit is made whole. We see that in verse 7. He says, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Again, one of the only references to life after death that he talks about here. And so we will go ahead and end this message. We'll finish this chapter in our next teaching. But at verse 8 of this one section here, he says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Well, we've heard that before because that's the ultimate sum of his search. Listen, the meaning of life is not found in living, nor is living the meaning of life. In other words, we will not find the meaning of life by looking at life because it's bigger than that. Nor is the meaning of life just to live. That is equally futile. So what is the answer or the meaning to life? Well, that's what we'll look at when we come back in our next teaching, which will be the last of this chapter. We want to invite you once again to come by the Wash and Word. Let us work on your vehicle, keep it clean, wash it up. And by you coming here, you're supporting this ministry. We also want to invite you to the washandword.com website. And there you can find out whatever information you need about this ministry or about the business. And if you have any questions, just give us a call, 423-920-0913. That's 423-920-0913. And we want to thank you for tuning in. We sure hope these messages are blessing you. And if you wouldn't mind letting us know you heard this message on the radio, we'd like to know if they're getting out there. And otherwise, we'll see you next time. Have a blessed day, and remember, the true meaning of life is found in serving God. Have a blessed day.